prayer is that you leave here blessed. While you're here, our prayer is that you engage in the worship and singing. This past Sunday, the whole church, in such a powerful way, joined us in the Christmas Hallelujah. Not the whole song, just the chorus. If I had my druthers, we would have done the whole song. Amen. It's Jesus' birthday. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get together, to worship you, to receive a word from you that would bless us and keep us on the track that we ought to be in glorifying the name of Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to open with just a little bit of an introduction. And I want you to think. This is a thinking kind of a message today. Thinking and imagining. And I want you to take yourself to the place of eternity. And I want you to just think about it just a little bit to see if you can comprehend what eternity is. Because the place of eternity is the place of God, who Himself is eternal. And His Son is eternal. And we want you to bring, we want to bring you to that place because it sets the backdrop for what's going to happen when God creates time and enters into time for the benefit of man. What a beautiful thought, right? And for the benefit of man, that we would join Him in eternity. Psalm 8, verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" As I get a picture of eternity, I take a look at what the Father and the Son and the relationship with the Holy Spirit was like. Now imagine God stepping into time which He created for our benefit. Send His Son to do the work of redemption which He has established from the foundations of the earth. I want you to get that picture. And what that was like when He's sitting on the throne and He stands up from the throne and He moves over to the Son and He said, "Now. Now is the time." And the Son stands up. And He sheds Himself with His holy robes, His glorious robes. And I don't know if He was wearing a crown at this time, but if He did, He sets it aside, which represents His glory. And He's about to do the bidding of the Father. And He acts in complete submission to the Father, because He is going to enter time as we know it. And what was it like them when the Father said, "Now is the time," and the Son is obedient to the Father, and He enters into this place of time? What was it like when He comes from being a deity, and He's always a deity, and He enters through the portals of time, and He enters into a woman with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit, and becomes an embryo, becomes a fetus, becomes a baby, that ends up in the arms of Mary, His mother, that makes His way to a manger, and then begins His travels, as God has it. I want you to have that in your mind, of eternity and time. And I want you to have in your mind how God has entered in for us. And what did they feel? Even as deity, what did they feel as they entered into time? What was going through Jesus' head when He had to go through that process like every one of us had? What was that like? What did the Father feel when He said, "It is time"? Because they know, because they're coming from eternity, they know the beginning from the end. What was it like? How did the angels respond to this whole thing? Because they weren't privy to the information. They don't know everything that God is at work doing. They're messengers. They're servants. and they do their messaging and their servicing as God gives it to them. What were they thinking?
Right.
There are so many things I can't fully grasp about what the Father had to do with His Son, sending Him here to this earth. And there's so many things I can't grasp about the Son being in submission to the Father, having to do what needed to be done. But there are some things that I can grasp as a father, as a brother, as, I'm not a mother, but at you as a mother, that we could take from this and we could glean and grasp. I want you to think of a time where maybe you had to take your child to school for the first time. I remember I wasn't the one who took our kids to school. Sally took our kids to school. And I remember one time she was unable to, and I had to take them to school. It was the first time, and they've been doing this for a couple months already. And I just remember letting them off at the car. From the car, and all of a sudden I see them with their little book bag, they're just moving their way off to school. And I remember the emotion, it's embarrassing actually, the emotion that rose up as my little child was making their way to their class because something was going on, something was different, something changed. And God has taken us through a journey, hasn't He? With lots of things like that, like the first time your child move to the next level in their education, maybe. Or maybe it was the first time that something spectacular happened in a game or in some sporting event or a music event. And something rose up in you and it was something worth celebrating. Or maybe when they took their first steps to move outside of the home and to live on their own. And you felt that thing again, that loss that they're now not with you like they were. So I can understand some of those things. Or how about when they take a spouse, a husband or a wife, and some of the feelings we have about that, God is moving them along for a greater purpose. You see, I can feel those things. But they get harder as circumstances get harder. But I can imagine people who remember when their son or their daughter went off to war. Or they went off and they enlisted. Or they went and joined the police academy or the fire department. You just remember these things. And then all of a sudden something creeps in like they are taking a risk for a country. Or they're taking a risk for the greater good. I can understand that. I can't understand a perfect son leaving the unity and the communion that he had with the Father to enter into humanity, to do a work for the world, to come and save the world. To imagine that is hard because in order to do it, remember, God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen to the Son. The Son knows what's going to happen to the Son. To lay His life down for you and me, I can't fully grasp it. What was the Father thinking as He sent His Son and said, now, this is the time. What was He feeling when He said, go?
Too late to rest on me.
Jesus himself. When he heard the words, "Now, this is the time," what do you think went through his mind? We just spoke about how it could have affected the Father with our limited thinking. But what about Christ himself? When the Father said, "Now, this is the time. You're to go." And he's in full submission to the Father. What was he feeling? Jesus knew well who he was. He was one with the Father and one with the Spirit. They were three, were one. One in essence. Different functions once they entered into time, but one in essence. And he knew his place. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man." Thank you, Jesus, for coming in the likeness of man. Because when he entered Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was on a journey to experience everything that you and I would experience. He knows us. There is nothing we engage in, nothing we do, nothing we live in life that he has not experienced in one form or another. Abuse, he's an expert at abuse because he experienced abuse. He experienced abuse to the nth degree. Hurt, weeping, he experienced hurt and weeping. Loss, he experienced loss. He is our counselor, the Bible tells us, him along with the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the wonderful counselor. And he can counsel us because he went through what we have gone through. Thank you, Jesus. All the while knowing who he was with the Father. John 20:21 says, I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, he knows his purpose. He knows his plan, so everything he did that the Father asked him to do, he did knowingly. And his heart's desire is for us to be one with him and the Father. You see, this whole call, this whole plan of God was so perfect and so well planned out from before the foundations of the earth, like we said. Because we were right. We were right. And with every passing day, we are more right to join him in what his heart's desire is, to be one with him. As the world grows darker, his light shines that much brighter. And his desire is that you and I would be in fellowship with each other, but with him and the Father. Once again, thank you, Jesus, for becoming fully man as you were fully God. Matthew 26:39. And I'm throwing this scripture in there because I want you to ask yourself a question. What would he say? Would he ever come to the place where he says, now is the time? And I think in this scripture, we see it. And it says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. As you will. As fully human, the reality of what he's called to do looms big. But in full submission to the Father, as one in unity with the Father, he knows what he must do. And he says, now. Now is the time. Not my will, but yours be done. He's praying this prayer in the garden. And what's he praying for? He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. The gift just got greater. Because now we have an advocate who is going to the Father, who was with the Father, is now with us, praying for us on behalf of the Father. I want you to think about yourself in this scenario. And I want you to think in terms of your relationship with this Savior, who goes to the Father on our behalf, who goes to the Father with groans and moans by His Spirit, it tells us in the book of Romans. And He does it for you and me. You see, He came for a purpose. Sometimes it's hard to get past the manger. I love the manger scene. Sometimes it's hard to get past the babe. Sometimes it's hard to get past the 12-year-old speaking in the temple. Sometimes it's hard to even get past the wonderful, incredible miracles he did to make himself known, that people would find a way to receive what he had for their salvation. Thank you, Jesus. In John 17:1, he says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. He said, now is the time. Glorify your Son. Now is the time. And in verse 5 it says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. was. He had the same glory as the Father. He shared the glory with the Father, but had to submit himself before the Father. How does God submit? How does an eternal God submit? He submits because of love. He submits because he loved you. And he submits because he loved me. You see, I believe submitting for him was the most natural thing to do. He got past his flesh and entered into his Godhood. And he loved. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand. Because we're going to move from a concert into a time of worship. I'm going to ask you to stand because something happens when we stand. We're taking an action. As we enter into these next four or five songs, whatever we have, I want you to engage in them. Amen.
The first Noel, the
Now is the time. The Father knew the time, like we said before the creation of the world. The Son heard the direction of the Father. Now is the time. And the Father and the Son spoke and said in the garden, now is the time. And when he prayed to the Father, he said, now is the appointed time, and he prays for us. But it comes back to you and me, doesn't it? Now is the time for us. And what does that mean for us? When God says to us, now, it sounds like this. Today is the day of salvation. That's a now statement. And we're called to respond to now statements. Just like He responded to the Father, we are to respond to His call. Now, what else does it mean? I believe now is a time for rebirth. For those that don't know Him, you see, when He came into this world in flesh, He did not come to judge and to condemn, but He came to save that which was lost. And when we come to Him, our spirits are born again. The old has passed away, and behold, the new. Our hearts go from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He changes us at rebirth. And it's not like Him coming from heaven through a woman. It's a different kind of birth. It's the Spirit of God leading us in a broken place to be open to receive Him with a broken and contrite heart. That's what He calls us to when He says, now. And when we say now, we make a decision. Now is the day of salvation. Now I will come before Him. Now I will break before Him in total surrender and in total worship, because now I see who He is. And consequently, now I see who I am. This holiday just got bigger. It just got more important when we make Him the focus of this great day. Now is the time to worship. So I ask you to stand before, because now is the time to worship. It's not a time to be entertained. It's a time to engage. Engaging in worship is a first step for many of us in being obedient to what He has called us to do. Worship Him and Him alone. We don't worship the season. We don't worship the manger. We don't even worship the cross. We worship the Son of God. And to be clear about that, and by the way, I am really looking forward to opening my gifts. But I don't worship them. Now is a time to move. We don't sit idle in this day. When He speaks to us, He says, now is the time to move. When did he speak and tell us that now is the time to move? About 2,020 years ago, I think. He says to go into all the world and share of me. Share now. Why would we put it off? He is a gift to us to be able to go and to share. So we move. How else do we move? We move by loving like He loved. As He loved the Father, He desires us to love each other in the same kind of unity that Him and the Father had. It's like in 17, oh, that they could be like you and me, Father. That they could love each other like we love each other. And then He takes it a step further. That we could love and be in relationship with Him. Now is the time to enter into relationship with believers, but also and especially to deepen your relationship with Him. Now is the time. And lastly, now is the time for peace. You see, the gift that He gave us, He came as a wonderful Counselor, and He can be. He came as the Prince of Peace. He is the Mighty God. He came from the Mighty God, but He is the Prince of Peace. And when you bring Him into your life, there should be peace. Storms will come. Tsunamis will hit. Finances will crumble. Hurt, pain, and death come about. But there should still be a peace within you because you know Him. You know the gift that was given. You know the One who submitted to the Father. And He asks us to submit to Him and open ourselves up to Him for peace. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Joyful and triumphant, oh come.
opportunity to give to us tonight. And hear from you through your word, through your song. I thank you for each person here this evening, each family, the circumstance and situation represented in this sanctuary tonight. I pray above all that your peace would rest upon the hearts and minds of these people, that you would draw them closer to you and closer to one another during this season. God, we love you and we worship you, and we thank you for the opportunity that you give to us every day. Every day, every day, to praise and to worship and to serve you. Transform us by the power of your Spirit and the promise of your word into the people that you designed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On behalf of the pastors and the elders and the deacons and the worship team and everybody here at Living Hope Church, we wish you the merriest of Christmases. We hope to see you this Sunday and every Sunday thereafter.